She's articulate, she's passionate, and she tells the truth about health. She's Dr. Holly. It's time for the Dr. Holly Lucille Show.
Hey folks, thanks so much for coming back. So as I promised, we are going to be talking about the myth of cholesterol. And I couldn't bring you this segment without the great work of my colleague, Dr. Johnny Bowden. So I want to give him a shout out. Listen, what is this cholesterol myth? What exactly is it? I think it's a fair question. So the great cholesterol myth is this persistent idea that we've been hearing for a long time that cholesterol is an important, if not the most important measure of risk for heart disease, and that we should be spending billions of dollars educating people on how to lower it, and that we give a lot of drugs to lower it, and they are by large safe and effective in multiple populations. I think that's the big myth, and it's certainly what, if you watch television at all, those direct-to-consumer commercials are telling you, and we've been hearing it for a long time. Those little eggs have gotten, I think, a bad rap for a long time, okay? So the truth is this, that numerous practitioners and experts continually perpetuate this myth, okay? And after all, what's the number one reason you've been told to keep your saturated fat intake as low as possible? Well, because saturated fats have been associated with high levels of what? Cholesterol, right? We know that. So if cholesterol is not, and we've been hearing this in the news lately, the major risk for heart disease, and if the relationship between saturated fats and cholesterol is really, and this is the truth, it's far more complex than what we've been taught, and if the effect of saturated fats on cholesterol, when measured accurately, was actually positive, because it is, wink, wink, then here's the deal. Those dietary recommendations of the past several decades, they're going to crumble like a big, big house of cards, all right? So here's what I'm going to tell you. And the evidence clearly shows that all of the above are really true, all right? The fact that there is an actual positive correlation when we're talking about saturated fats on cholesterol. Cholesterol is not a major risk factor for heart disease. I would say that it's certainly not the most important. I see this all the time in my practice, and my patients prove this to me. And certainly, I don't think it's one that deserves the three-decade-long pharmaceutical war against it, while the real risk factors in heart disease get completely and comparatively, I should say, very, very little attention. You know, I'm taught as a naturopathic doctor and trained, identify and treat the cause. It's extremely important. Dr. Bowden gives this incredible analogy, and I want to share it with you. So consider a tsunami, okay? I've got a friend from New Orleans, and she calls it a tsunami. She goes ahead and pronounces that T, which I think is very adorable. Water is involved in a tsunami. We know that, right? You can't have a tsunami without it. But water, if you think about it, it isn't the cause of the tsunami. It just isn't. Trying to prevent a tsunami by draining the ocean is pretty much foolish, right? Yet it's the exact kind of approach I think that, by and large, the medical industries have been taking when it comes to the idea of cholesterol and its association with really quite a big problem in our country, heart disease. So I say rather than focusing on the conditions under which cholesterol becomes a problem, right? Because cholesterol in and of itself, I mean, you got to think about it. Cholesterol, that's the mother of all our steroid hormones. We can't do without it. We really can't. And we got to kind of quit picking on it. But when there's oxidation and inflammation involved, cholesterol can become a problem for sure. We've focused all our attention on the little sweet steroid building molecule itself. That's it, all right? So Dr. Steven Sinatra, I'll give him a shout out too. He's fond of saying, cholesterol is found at the scene of the crime, but it's not the perpetrator. Big myth busting going on here, I believe. Okay, so let's get to the sweet spot though, because I think this is my job as well, and it's very important. If cholesterol doesn't really cause or isn't a huge, big, most important siren contributing factor to heart disease, then what does? I'll tell you, I think it's a great question. And as most clinical presentations in my practice, I think they're multifactorial. They are. It's not just one thing that creates this devastating situation of heart disease. But there's a lot of things going on. Certainly, there's some genetic components. There's dietary components, environmental, hormonal, and certainly lifestyle factors too. Four of the major promoters of heart disease are the following. Inflammation. All right, we know it's just like pouring fuel on the fire. That inflammation causes so many distressors in our body. Oxidative damage. Chronic, unrelenting, compounded, confounded stressors. Stress in an abnormal way, which I think a high percentage of folks in our country are under on a daily and nightly basis. And also the kicker for the dietary aspect, we don't want to think about butter and these you know, animal proteins. I'm going to talk a little bit more about that, but it's the added dietary sugar, not natural sugars that are bound to all those lovely other compounds in fruits and vegetables. It's the added sugar in our diet. Those are the big four factors that are by far much more important than overall cholesterol levels. And there's a lot, the cool thing about it is there's so much there, I call them, they're modifiable risk factors. There's so many things that we can do about them to make sure that we are decreasing our risk for heart disease. Prevention is the prevention is the cure, right? Yeah, so for instance, you can definitely cut out sugar. I know it's difficult, but it can be done. You can address your unrelenting chronic stressors. You can identify them and try to decrease them over time. You can certainly partake in eating an anti-inflammatory diet, staying plant strong, therefore nutrient dense. You can address the imbalance of omega-3 to omega-6 fatty acids. We talk a lot about that. You know, we currently consume about 16 times more omega-6, that's the inflammatory omegas, than we do omega-3s. And so those are inflammatory chemicals in our bodies. And we can actually offset them with good supplementation and or cold water fish. We can eat more spices and antioxidant-rich foods. Curcumin has been studied. Lycopene. We can eat more fat and protein from grass-fed beef, wild salmon, pasture-raised chicken and pork. And we can help in sort of shunning their factory farm counterpoints. We can make a difference not only in our health, but our world too. You know, these choices have a ripple effect. It's kind of throwing a pebble into the well for the most part. We can exercise. We can do targeted supplementation with other clinically proven nutrients that protect the heart, like vitamin D. We can actually get out in the sun, get outside. You know, I was dealing with a patient that has been diagnosed with ADD. And when I took her case, I thought, I think you have NDD. And I didn't say this out loud, but it was certainly rolling around in my head. NDD, what's that? It's nature deficiency disorder. Hadn't been outside, smelling the air, smelling the flowers, feeling the wind, having the grounding of your feet in the sand in such a long time. She was busting it from morning to night. So that's the cholesterol myth, folks. For a long time, we've been being told, right, that, hey, it's this cholesterol. You got to watch those eggs, got to watch saturated fat. And you got to be on perhaps a medication if your cholesterol is elevated. Cholesterol, the molecule itself, we got to quit picking on it. We really do. And there's so many things when it comes to heart disease. If you look at this, really, I think the four biggies: inflammation, oxidative stress, oxidative damage, I should say, chronic stressors, and dietary sugar. And the empowering part of it, when I realize something like this and I get a chance to impart it to folks, is that sure, there's not much we can do about our genetic predisposition. I say not much because we can do something. We can't change our DNA. We can change the phenotypic expression of it, meaning we can change how it actually works by eating well, exercising, doing all of those great things that you hear about right here on Radio MD. Thanks for listening. All right, we're out here to bust the myths and bring you good, solid information. This is Mindful Medicine. I'm Dr. Holly Lucille. You can follow us on Twitter or Facebook at Your Radio MD. Thank you so much once again, and stay tuned.